Well, today we begin with the Lord's instructions to Moses on Mount Sinai to consecrate and ordain Israel's priests. Now, these instructions will be obeyed following the building of the tabernacle over in Leviticus chapter 8. But for now, the details given here highlight the importance of Israel's worship. These priests are going to represent the people before God, and they're going to represent God before the people. Now, let me remind you that the tabernacle itself was constructed after the pattern the Lord showed Moses back in Exodus chapter 25. The tabernacle and its furnishings were designed to teach people about the holiness of God and how sinful people could actually approach God, basically, that is, through a blood sacrifice. Now, the priests serving in the tabernacle modeled these truths, and they were essentially pointing ahead to the work of Jesus Christ. The high priest was actually pointing people to the Lord, whom the New Testament calls our great high priest in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Now, rather than comment on all the details of the consecration ceremony here, I want to emphasize the role of the priests and the pattern they provide for the great high priest to come. Let me give you seven important truths about Israel's priesthood and what they mean for us today. First, the priests are chosen by God for this unique service. The Lord says to Moses here in verse 1, "Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them." Now understand, consecrating means setting them apart for special duties that no one else can perform. No one can simply choose or volunteer to be a priest. God specifically chose Aaron and his descendants to serve him as priests. You see, Aaron's ministry is going to be a pattern that points to the chosen one, the Son of God, who is going to be our final and great high priest, who offers this one final all-sufficient sacrifice for sins. Now, let me point out the second truth about Israel's priests, and that is that they have to be holy. The Lord says here in verse 10, "You shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons shall lay their hand on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and shall take part of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and the rest of the blood you shall pour out at the base of the altar." Now, by laying their hands on the bull's head, the priests are identifying with this animal that's about to be sacrificed. And what kind of sacrifice is this? Well, verse 14 calls it a sin offering, that is, a sacrifice for unintentional sins committed. Now, after this, an unblemished ram is to be sacrificed, and the process is repeated with laying on of hands and sprinkling blood here at the base of the altar. Verse 18 refers to this one as a burnt offering. That is, this is a sacrifice for intentional sins. Now listen, here's the point. Aaron and all of his sons might be priests, but they're still sinners. They still need God's forgiveness. They need to have their sins, even the ones that sort of slip by them, that they're not all that conscious about, covered by the blood of an animal before they can serve a holy God. You see, this whole ceremony emphasizes the need for a holy priesthood and therefore points ahead to Jesus, our sinless great high priest. The Apostle Peter writes that believers are priests unto God when he says, "But you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Beloved, you happen to serve God today. You happen to represent him today as a priest. But if you ever hope to serve him effectively as you should, you need to walk in holiness, consistently confessing and asking the Lord for his forgiveness of your sins. Let me point out a third principle here. Israel's priests are to fulfill their duties faithfully. You see, the second ram that's offered here is called, in verse 22, the ram of ordination. Now, this word for ordination comes from a Hebrew verb meaning to fill the hands. So to ordain someone is to entrust, to put into their hands certain duties. And in this case, it's the duties of the priesthood. So blood from this ram is to be placed on the right ear, the right thumb, and the big toe on the right foot of each priest. And this is the Lord's way of symbolically filling the hands of Aaron and his sons with all the work that's going to be accomplished in the tabernacle. Whatever they handle, what they hear, how they walk, all of that is to be committed to the work of God. And so it was for Jesus, our great high priest. He perfectly executed his duties on earth. And even today, he's faithfully carrying out his priestly work. Why? He's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 7:25 tells us. Now, fourth, we see that the Lord makes full provision for the priests. You see, portions of these offerings are for the priests to eat. We're told here in verse 28 that the breast of the ram shall be for Aaron and his sons as a perpetual due from the people of Israel. In other words, those serving the Lord, well, they got to eat, and they ought to be provided for. Their needs ought to be met. And this is how God's providing. Now, the fifth principle or truth concerning the priests of Israel we see here is that they must complete this ordination process. In verse 35, the Lord tells Moses, "Through 7 days you shall ordain them." Well, this means they can't be ordained priests unless they complete this 7-day ceremony. The number 7 communicates the idea of completion. This is a concept that no doubt has its origin in the creation week as God rests on the 7th day. I think this principle implies, even to this day, the idea of God's timing. You see, to this day, the royal priests on earth representing the true and living God, well, we ought to demonstrate our trust in the timing of God for everything in life. So this is the principle of trusting the Lord's perfect plans as priests. There's another truth here, the 6th truth about Israel's priests, and it's that they're going to communicate God's remedy for sin. The Lord says here in verse 38, "Now this is what you shall offer on the altar, 2 lambs. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight." So twice a day, every single day, the priests effectively demonstrate now the need for a substitutionary sacrifice to pay for people's sins. And this, again, is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 tells us that he became a faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation, that is, to make atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now, one more important truth is indicated here, and it's that priests are to help people come to know God. We read here in verse 44, "Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that I might dwell among them." You can see why Israel's priests played such a critical role in Israel's life and worship, can't you? They're reminding the people of God's holiness, the need for forgiveness, the principle of an innocent substitute sacrificed for sin. And all of this is pointing to the coming Redeemer, the great, holy high priest who would, now get this, offer himself as the final, unblemished, permanent, all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Why? So that you and I can know the true and living God and dwell with him one day, forever. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.